Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our show. Good morning, Neil. I'm Kristen. Today, we are going to be discussing the loosely organized brain and conducting psychic readings for our callers. So welcome to the show, callers. I think we're going to talk first today, right, Neil? And then take our calls?
Yeah,
is that okay? Yeah. So callers, we're going to be discussing our topic first. So please do stay in the queue because we'll be covering or we'll be reaching each caller that is in the queue currently. So keeping your place in line is a good idea because if you hang up, then you lose your place. We want to invite you to join us on Facebook and Twitter. Neil Baker Psychic, you may like. Neil and Kristen Baker, follow or send us a friend request, please. You can follow our show on Blog Talk Radio by clicking the follow button, and email announcements are sent when we do a show. So that's a good way to stay in touch and know when we're on the air. Call a number for those who are just listening and haven't called yet, 914-338-0164. And for further conversation, 562-596-7818. And if I said that number too fast for you, the number is on the Blog Talk Radio page as well as our Facebook pages. So the loosely organized brain. I guess if we're talking about the brain, Neil, and the loosely organized brain, which I think we're going to be getting into in terms of maybe personality imbalances and things like that, but we're going to get first into the anatomical. We're going to get into the anatomy of the brain first and what the different lobes.
Let's clarify that the brain itself is loosely organized. The brain itself is
quite organized. Quite organized, but the loosely organized brain comes along with, you know,
sort of
personal behavior.
It's sort of a jab as to how we disorganize the brain to our psyche,
which is kind of a dichotomy because of the fine organizational structure of the brain.
Yes, and we're excluding the disorganized function of the brain in terms of disease or some malfunctioning electrical energy in the brain or chemical or something like we're not talking about the disorganized brain in terms of a medical or anatomical situation. We're talking about a disorganized brain in terms of the levels of psyche.
Well, it's interesting, you know, when we get further into this, we can talk about things like depression, mental illness, which, you know, they talk about whether this is an organic problem in the brain with, you know, a chemical imbalance versus whether it's situational or what situations causes the brain to become off balance. So it's an interesting topic. That's a more...
Sure. I mean, it isn't to say that the brain can't malfunction or have a defect in it, but the brain as a brain itself is a highly organized
unit,
and it is amazing. And we haven't even tapped into all of its resources and mysteries and origins. So what we're really talking about in terms of the disorganized brain is not, like we said, so much in its structure and its mechanisms and its hemispheres and its lobes and things like this, as much as what we do to
cause
upset
a disorder.
The brain from an original condition of excellence. And so we're also excluding, you know, retardation or anything that might be affecting the brain due to other factors other than just a person producing a disorganized brain.
Okay.
We're talking about how we produce a disorganized brain. Because in that regard, we can turn a good energy into mush. And we can distort a brain in such a way that it becomes off balance and we actually abuse a brain. It's almost as though you have a child who comes into the world and they're perfectly fine, nothing wrong with them. And slowly but surely, through abuse, the child becomes impaired or disorganized. Same thing that we tend to treat our brains as though they can withstand anything. But every thought, aside from the organic chemistry of the brain, every thought, every action, every habit affects the brain. And the brain is the electrical center of our body, which sends all impulses throughout our whole system, including the more of the esoteric metaphysical aspects of the chakra system and whatnot, the energy fields of the body, the etheric fields of the body form. And thereby, if we have a malfunctioning brain that we actually produce after birth, then everything becomes disorganized in that regard.
Right, malfunctioning brain, not in the, again, the medical sense, but in the
psyche sense, or even the psychological sense.
So let's talk about the brain's parts and the brain's lobes. And this is interesting. I wasn't thinking about this until just now, but the brain has three parts. Mm-hmm. And is divided into four lobes, three, four.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
On a numerological, three is female, four is male. So that's a very balanced structure. And 34, seven is
energy.
Your, yeah.
It consumes the whole body's zone itself. Yeah. I mean, there's some interesting tidbits about the more of the esoteric language of the brain. I mean, you're not going to be able to tell this to a doctor, well, you know, the
or
brain
a scientist.
Is 3-4, that's male, female, you know, no. But if you talk about the hemispheres and the parts of the brain, the parts that brings out the abstract thinking, more of the mechanical, concrete thinking, the parts that bring out the feminine sides, the emotional sides, as opposed to the analytical sides, the physicality of the brain, the parts of the brain that controls the emotions, then we can get into the more deeper language of what it is to be a human being, whether you were male or female, or for that matter, both.
Right.
In some esoteric terminology.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do, though, with the brain to hope to disorganize is that when we get into the idea of, like, let's look at the emotional energy, we can have a very emotional brain that predominates our being. And usually when you meet an emotionally dominated brain,
they're not thinking logically too much.
The whole world is wrapped up in emotion.
Right.
They're very emotional. Everything's wrapped up in emotion. There's usually turmoil. Now the brain, you know, can be passionate and sort of imbued with artistry and creativity. But the emotions can go in that rite of passage. But if the brain is emotionally inclined to be always in a mode of despair, oh, I can't do that. Oh, you don't understand my life. No matter what you say, the brain morphs slowly into a trauma of sorts. And there's always the emotional aspects. And people are whining about their families. People are whining about their life conditions. That's the emotional brain. There's no real logic behind it. And so what happens is that as people speak, they actually end up feeding and fattening that part of their brain. And, you know, where the emotions are stored. So in that portion of the brain, we're feeding it and depriving valuable energy and nutrients, if you will, chemical impulses in more of the logical and analytical. Oh, sure, an emotional person can at times be logical, but what you find in the emotional brain is that they eventually lean back to being emotional. Logic can't overrule emotion. The best you can get is you can talk to somebody with an emotional brain, they can finally say, well, I guess you're right, maybe I should do this. And their logic kicks in. But talk to them 2 weeks later and they're back to being emotional for the most part. So we have the emotional brain as opposed to the logical brain. Well, you know, you should feel more. You should understand and have more empathy. Oh, I don't need to. I don't need to. This has nothing to do with feelings and this has nothing to do with empathy. I'm very logical about this. And so we get the sort of detached kind of Professor Kingsfield attitude that we are just here to teach, instruct, and emotions have nothing to do with it. More of the court of law of the brain. And so we get that. And then we are, people like that are continuously feeding the logical brain, the analytical brain. And we're talking about different, don't forget, we're talking about different lobes of the brain.
We're talking about lobes and sides. So, I mean, the frontal lobe deals with emotions, but the right hemisphere is more of the feminine, if you will, the creative side, as opposed to the logical side, the left. So
yeah,
it brings up, you know, another point about an imbalance. Look at, you know, the most recent example of someone who succumbed to unfortunate behavioral issues, drug use. You know, George Michael recently died, as everybody knows, on Christmas. And this was a very, very, very creative and, you know, some, I don't want to say brilliant, but very creative and talented individual who had, and, you know, had business acumen as well. I mean, he has like $100 million fortune, but he succumbed to his imbalanced brain because there was a long history of drug abuse. So in a lot of the creative types, you know,
we'll get that.
There's that.
Well, you know, the brain,
problem.
The brain has a strange marriage. When you equate movement, body movement, sound movement, rhythm movement, and you have some gray matter that can produce some sense of language in either notes, musicality, or
right, and
or
he was
dialogue.
He composed too. I mean, he was a composer,
yeah.
Writer,
and his, you know, his attitudes, you know, in terms of his more of his kind of simple based lyrics.
Yeah, Neil's not a fan.
Well, no. His simple, well, I was about to say his simple bass lyrics were imbued with some sense of feeling about his condition, his life, the song Faith and all that. There's a different,
many.
Meaning level in that. So I'm not opposed to simplicity of language, you know, inhabiting deep, deep, meaningful things. So one can have that. And that is reserved for some parts of the brain that seem to travel to other parts of the brain. But when we get into the idea of addiction, that is also connected with self-identity, and maybe some of it was produced by society itself, but he had very compelling, this individual had very compelling factors of sexuality, you know, going...
Right, and he hid his sexuality for, yeah, he did.
And
he was, until his mother's death, he actually was in the closet. So this was very difficult for him. In fact, there was a letter, I'm getting off topic, but Frank Sinatra wrote him a letter about dealing with fame at one point,
yeah,
because he wasn't dealing with fame well. But I think a lot of it had to do.
500 people he slept with.
Well, yeah, during a certain period, like
who knows, but
500 or whatever. But, you know.
You know, when you get into those areas, that's the impulse of energy that can now be connected to a portion of sexuality and addiction and things like this, which we can logically understand as the psychology of the brain connected to the psychology of behavior. But when we look at the aspect that we are also have to look at the whole region of the brain, the circumference of the brain, and try to understand that in terms of behavior, logic, emotions, addictions, obsessions, discipline, boundary lines. Most of us don't treat the brain in a way that is so consciously involved that we're taking care of everything. So we have to admit that there is some part of every human being, where, and myself included, where we neglect the total aspect of the brain. And by neglecting the total aspect of the brain and all of its given regions, we tend to disorganize it.
Right. Well, because it functions on its own. It's not like we have to, you know, feed the brain to make it work. It's not like we have to plug ourselves in.
Well, not really. You can plug a TV in, but the way you handle the channels and what you watch, and I mean, there's a
right.
But
there's the automation of the body sometimes makes us, you know, ignorant to its functions.
Sure, but again, we don't have a robotic brain. We have this is where the emotions and the impulses and the ability to learn and sort of mantle behavior on a pedestal to where we can actually feel and think. When someone, even in our show, when someone asks, well, what's going to happen? You know, we're talking about, well, my brain, I have an unknown variable in my brain. We're calling you guys to figure out where the known variable is. When we get into the idea of vision, we're also still utilizing the brain. Let's face it, we cannot even communicate without the brain. So whenever we plug into the brain, as you specified, we are plugging into different circuits in the brain. Those circuits have electrical impulses which send messages to the whole body. If those messages are thereby expansive and other bodily energies result in that, meaning insight, we go into insight to get foresight. So we go inside to see outside of ourselves. That's what psychics do. You know, a psychic doesn't really go inside and stay inside. A psychic has to reach outward and then get accuracy.
So a psychic has, someone who's an accurate psychic, it has a very organized psyche and, you know.
Yes. And this is where we get into the fascinating idea of brainwaves.
Brainwaves and electrical currents. And, you know, Neil, we're just getting into this, but we obviously have a limited show and callers. So we're going to continue. Is that okay?
Yeah, we'll continue.
We can continue on Friday. So anything to say before we get to call?
Well, no, it'll be a continuing conversation.
Wrap up. You know, I mean, we can't get into the...
our conversation about the brain isn't that organized itself. We're not in any place where we're trying to accommodate callers and try to formulate some informal language about the formality of the brain. But anyways, let's get beyond that and get to our callers.
Okay, right, callers. We're getting to them now. Okay, we haven't heard from Michelle for a while, and she is the first in line. Hello, Michelle.
Hey, hello, Kristen. Hi, Neil. How are you two doing?
Good. Thank you. 10/17/74. She's a 30 equals 3. And what's up?
Well, I first wanted to wish both of you a happy new year early.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And that was actually also my question. What do you see coming up in the new year for me?
I thought that was going to be your question today.
Really?
I actually did. Yes, I did. I did think that was going to be the question. But I mean, you know, that's a lot of people are asking that kind of thing at this time of year. Is there anything you want to update us on quickly before we get into the reading?
No, I don't think there's anything that exciting now.
All right.
Well, you know, assuming, Michelle, that you are 42 years old and you're on a multiple of 3.
That's in her first two and last 42.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's 14 cycles you've gone through so far. Since the age of 30, which was your karmic age resolution, it's been 12 years.
And that's in her first and last 14.
Yeah, that's right. In 1974, it becomes a 12-2 because it's 7-4-1. So that's a 12. And you're
a 12 also, you mean. A 12 also, not a 12-2. A 12-3, actually.
Yeah, well, it's a 12. 7-4-1 is a 12.
Yeah,
so she's 30 and 42. There's a 12 element, which means that she's gone through 4 cycles since the age of 30. So what this means, Michelle, is, and you're in that year already, is you're approaching a level whereby you are supposed to be seeking balance through spirituality.
7-4.
Now look at your year, 7-4. 7 is spirituality, 4 is heart and balance. And the journey between 7 and 4 is 3, which is the female energy. So your feminine energy is supposed to be seeking balance through spirit, whereby your masculine, if you will, energies come out and you and your life is sort of being handled in a more masculine, muscular way. And what I mean by that is the strength of being a female, female power. This is where the essence of your energy is. Now, in this previous year, you may have been impacted or confronted with energies on the female level that might have challenged your female power. Sometimes that comes in the way of employees or just girlfriends or mothers or whatever it is. But sometimes the female, again, female and female can get into a war. It's not supposed to happen, but it happens. And in that war and that battle, there can be some challenging aspect of karma whereby you're supposed to find a muscular note of energy. I think even in terms of our recent example of Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds, there was a battle between the female power and how Carrie Fisher came back, maybe with a sense of humor, but with a sense of the sheer complexity of exposure and just total what it was. There was a masculine energy in Carrie Fisher's attitude about life, even though it was laced with humor and pain and at the admittance of mental imbalance to some sort. In your zone, Michelle, you are being challenged in the coming year to seek the masculinity, if you will, of your female power. Now, does that make any sense to you? Because it's kind of spread out in a sort of abstract language without being specific totally. But does it make any sense to you?
Yeah, I think it does make sense because I want to do more things with the business world and I do have to be a bit more masculine. Yeah.
Wait, that was, can you repeat that slowly because you're a little bit muffled sounding?
Sure. It makes sense to me because there's some things this upcoming year I want to do with the business world and I know that I need to be more masculine
world.
When I do that.
It keeps cutting out when she says what she's wanting to do.
It sounds like
you're
saying in this world.
Yeah.
In the business world.
Business world.
Yeah. Now, interesting concept, not one we can actually handle on the radio, but because it's too intense, too immense. But the attitude of you as a female expecting to go into the business world, when we talk about the business world, we're, you know, forgive me for these stupid stereotypes, but when we talk about the business world, we're talking about men. Kind of.
Yep.
I don't believe that.
Traditionally speaking.
We're talking about men.
Traditionally.
I mean, you know, it's just the same as the businessman winning over the feminine power in our past presidential election. When you think of the, quote, business side of things, you typically, our brains are still connected to the idea.
Well, stereotypes, obviously.
So you're a female moving into that realm. And yes, it is complimentary to say to you that you are a female entering into the masculine world of business, and the idea is that you have to take a sense of spirituality and balance in that zone. Now, let's look at Hillary Clinton. She tried to bring empathy and compassion, at least in her dialogue, to the feminine power of going into a man's world of the presidency, and she tried to be the sensitive, caring side, the maternal, strong, monarch side of the
matriarch
side of the energy.
You're talking
fast. It didn't work. The bold locker room talk and the challenging aspects of the system overruled her feminine consciousness. You in turn are in your own world, Michelle, about to enter that world. So as you go into the business aspect of this, there's got to be a certain power in your energy that doesn't deprive you of your femininity, nor of the balance between your femininity and your masculinity. But it is going to take a certain attitude of energy and fire for you to get through this, because it's going to demand that you release yourself from your karmic demons, a lot of your upbringing aspects of who you are as a female at the age of 42, about to enter the business world, and what has stopped you from actualizing yourself from the age of 30 to 42 to get there. Now, this becomes a more intense examination of the psyche that we just can't handle, but it approaches your question that this should be a balanced year for you coming up, because you're going to be 43. And 43 is the energy
in October,
but you're getting to there. And 43 is the energy of the four
and
the
three
in between the 7-4. So let's face it, you're in an intense, karmic, transcendent situation where you're going to be challenged.
Challenged in a good way, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you meet the challenge. And then she's going to be running for president. And
yeah. Well, here's your dilemma. Because I analyze everything. That was the wrong response. You don't say it's going to be in a good way, doesn't it? You see, what you're doing is showing me doubt and indecision and fear. You don't want to get into those zones. So I know I'm overanalyzing you, but I will poke the specimen to see what I get. And what you're giving me is some sense of trepidation an uncertainty, which I'm telling you to eliminate, even though I understand the logic of your question, it's not the proper way to enter the year coming up. You want to be certain. You want to be strong. You want to be logical. You see what I'm saying? You don't want to be that unconcerned about those aspects by being uncertain.
Okay, so I need to be very, I just lost the word.
Determined, assertive, certain, that kind of thing. That's where you need to be.
And confident too, right?
Confident. Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Okay,
yeah, because I know I'll be working with a lot of men. Okay.
Well, that's right in the theme of what's being expressed here today. So.
Yeah. Okay. But I didn't think about it that way till now. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Michelle. Happy New Year. Okay, 562-596-7818 and 203 is our next caller. Hello, who's that?
Hi, this is Pat. Thank you. I pressed one and then I took myself out by mistake, so I'm glad I'm back on. I'm glad you got me. Thank you. Happy New Year.
You're 712, right?
Yes, I am.
And it's 56, am I wrong?
53,
sorry. I know you're a 28101, but I didn't, I'm not adding it up, so I don't know what the year was. Okay.
Yeah.
So how's your residence going?
I'm having a hard time making the rent. I want to ask about more work coming in and finances and if the energy, Alan, if you could help me, Neil, I'm sorry, if you could help me somehow change that energy.
Well, we both work on energy, Pat, so this is a team effort. So
thank you. Good.
Yeah, it's important to recognize that when you're calling in. What happened with the was it bulletin boards, I think, that were suggested last time? Wasn't that something that we talked about, is putting up ads for caregiving? And
I did do that and I have gotten some work from it.
So that's good. So that's a validation.
Yes.
Works. Good.
Yes, and it also seems like I've been getting a lot of responses that have been not following through. I mean, talking back and forth, and then finally people change their mind. So I'm still working very, very little. And,
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. That's all right.
Well, no. Finish your statement
about
the dog.
I had a dog sitting job and it was canceled at the last minute. And that actually I was looking forward to keep me busy through the Christmas holiday, because I was alone. So there's been a lot of, canceling or people inquiring and then deciding not to hire me. I do have some house cleaning jobs. I need to get more and I need to get overnight dog sitting jobs.
Okay.
The flyers absolutely work. Thank you so much.
So that's good, because that's what was recommended on the last show, bulletin boards, flyers, and it works, but obviously there's something wrong in the energy field that's causing these cancellations.
You're right. What's happening in the aspect of this energy, Pat, as you put out some ads, you got some responses, but then what is alerting me to your conflict right now is that a lot of things are falling through. Now, that falling through energy, let's be objective for a minute. That falling through where things are happening and they fall through and they don't happen, so you're losing a lot of these jobs, including the dog-sitting job, that's in the flow of energy that you're putting out. Now, let's first of all try to be responsible. Let's just say, first of all, let's take some self-responsibility to this. Not that you may be aware of it. But in the flow of energy, what's happening is that you want to, you want to run a mile relay and you're doing great. And you get a quarter of a mile, a half a mile, three quarters of a mile, and you go, oh, I can't do it anymore. What's happening is that somewhere in the process of the run to employment, you're losing the energy of breath. So it could be, and this gets very subtle, very complex, Pat, because your mind could suddenly send out little impulses of doubt, fear, uncertainty, and you're not even aware of it. But even when you're running, and I'm not a runner, but even when you're running, if you lose traction with your breath, if you lose the momentum and you get off breath, it can disturb your whole sequence of events.
So you're saying that there's some kind of energy that Pat's putting out herself to disrupt this process.
It could be. That's
because
why
there's
I want to go first.
Because there's been some success with what she's done, which is good news.
Yes. But also the indications that people are contacting her and then they stop.
Is it because
the people just stop because they're crazy and they decide not to? Or is there something in the energy field that is above and beyond Pat's consciousness? It could be in the subconsciousness is still part of the brain. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you something. Just curious, Pat, in your childhood, any strep throats, any tightening of the throats, any thyroid problems in the family?
I had, I had strep and mono, and then I had hepatitis at age 9. Yes.
Hepatitis A?
Yes. And my mother had thyroid problems, and now I'm on thyroid medicine.
See? So now look at it this way. I don't know anything about that. What I'm picking up as a psychic, you're calling us to analyze your energy. And what we're picking up together as a psychic, because we're both in agreement with this, is that we can hear in the energy of your voice these symptoms, these conditions. You don't hear it. Nobody else is going to hear it. But the fact that we picked up on it means that it is there. So what do you do? So now we got validation. I asked about strep throat, thyroid, and you're going, yeah. And you even had it at 9, which is 1 year prior to your rebirth at 10, because you're a 28-10-1. So these are energies that are still going on. There's something in the energy field of your upbringing that is causing a disruption to your actualized self. Now, maybe subconsciously you're still carrying some childhood indecisions, some childhood conflicts, something's going on with the psyche that you're still carrying from back there. And so what people do is, you got to release the energy. You got to go to a shrink. You got to, let go of the energy. I don't know how far you've gone. You obviously have gone some distance because you're who you are, but there's something you're still carrying.
Something with her mother, because the mother had a thyroid problem too.
Could be the mother. Was your mother, was she problematic or anything?
Yes.
Yeah. So,
is there anything I can do to alter this?
You can do things on your own by just taking my awareness and taking it and incorporating it into your brain and discovering in your own,
idiosyncratic way.
Thank you. how to release it. Or you go to a therapist, or you go to a psychic or a shrink or whatever you want to go to get rid of it. There's ways to do it. You can work it off. You can do work it off physically, exercise while you're thinking about it. But to get you out of being captured by that crisis that you're still carrying could result in the release of your obstacles.
Uh-huh.
And by releasing your obstacles, it's going to make sense. You're not going to have that karma you're carrying where you're getting, quote, rejected by significant others, whoever they may be in your environment.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Do you have any homeopathic ideas that I could take for
homeopathic? Well, we don't really do homeopathic, like medicine. No, we don't do that.
I don't, I'm not saying you take this herb. It's a combination of things. You go to a dentist and the dentist and you say, well, do you recommend that I brush my teeth? Well, of course. Can you take homeopathic things? Yes. But it's not, you're separating yourself from the family of consciousness that I'm going to. It isn't like, okay, where's the pill I take? Oh, what tea do I do?
I'm sorry. I don't mean that, but I do take homeopathic things to start things going, like if I have a sense that there's fear in my childhood, then I'll take something for fear and work on it and do therapy and
well, that's
hope
good.
That,
That's good. The flint to the fire. If you're using homeopathic measures to create an energy field where you can start to work, yes.
Yes.
But it's building a fire and then maintaining a fire according to the conditions. And so what you want to do is learn how to maintain the fire of your psyche. If you use homeopathic measures to induce a sense of consciousness and release, but you don't know what to do. Like, it's like saying, I'm going to get myself a pit bull to protect my home. But then that pit bull, you don't keep on a leash, and it runs across the street and mangles the poodle next door and tears its throat open. And then you have to destroy your pet bull in the process. You have to learn how to manage the fire, of your energy, not just release it. So you have to learn how to control it, maintain it. It's actually a very creative process, and it can be a lot of fun, even though work can be fun in this respect. So by doing what you're doing is good. What I see that there might be a mismanagement after the process of inducing the fire. So in that regard, there has to be a deeper conversation about how you manage your life. If you can manage your life in a more elaborate way, you'll be able to manage the people you're trying to bring into your fold that will support you and give you compensation for your work. So that when you go out of yourself, you're not receiving penalties, whether it's the pit bull hitting the poodle or you trying to see people getting jobs and they reject you.
Right. So it needs to be a follow through. So it's not like just having a Band-Aid homeopathic remedy that addresses fear, whatever issue is being experienced. It has to be a full investigation into the psyche, and it's right on subject. I mean, this is what we're talking about today.
Exactly, what you were talking about.
Personal trainers to learn more about the energy of the body. You go to psychics or people who are going to set up systems for you to keep yourself, you know, or you rely on yourself.
7-day system.
You know, you figure out a way to spread your energy outward, expand your mind, Pat. Take your energy out and keep that sense of control over your, not your immediate environment, but the environment far beyond you, and you'll bring in more. I know it's a language that seems a little bit abstract, but we don't have time to go into the details. You'd have to do personal things with that or just investigate on your own.
Okay, Pat, hopefully that helps.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Okay, 216s are next.
Yes. Hi. Hello, Patricia and Neil. How are you? This is Patricia.
I'm
Patricia.
Sorry? Patricia.
Yes. From Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah. Hi, Patricia. What's your birth date again?
7/16/58.
I'm sorry, the year?
5/8.
5/8. What's going on? 1324.
Well, let me get a general what will be going on with me next year. I know I've called you in the past in regards to
your living situation, property.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and then connecting
romance.
With this government official, but I'm hitting a block there, meaning that I can't, my recent job experience is not enough to get me into that door. I have the experience, but I can't show it recent.
Okay.
I'm trying to find another way to
What's
get in
the
there.
Job
anyway,
again? She's 37101, is that right?
It was to meet this government official at this apartment complex, condo building. It's a receptionist. And I haven't from 20, 30 years ago, but not recently. And I'm trying to figure out another way to, you know, serve this purpose. But anyway, I'm putting that to the side. I'm just trying to get the gist on what's going on for me in the new year,
2017. All right.
Well, are you still in the midst of trying to get this apartment complex receptionist job to see if there's any, or is that already taken?
Okay. That's why I'm saying I'd like to get over there and fulfill this responsibility to meet this government official, but I don't have recent enough experience.
Yeah.
She's 58.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's your year, yeah. Patricia. So that's really significant.
What we're talking about, Patricia, is putting old blood into new blood. So, you know, you haven't had recent experiences, and so your experiences come from an antiquated method of doing things, if you will. You haven't proven your skills in the area of what it takes technology wise or whatever, network wise, whatever it is you'd have to do to be a receptionist. But mm-hmm. the old blood is still within the new body, because what you have going right now is, at being 58 years old and your year is 58, and there's a celebration of some sort into that, and you have a karma of 37, so 37 from 58 is what, 21 years. In that regard, you would have to demonstrate, and I don't know if you've done this, in terms of the government official work, your skills in knowledge. If you haven't had recent experience and exposure in the current atmosphere of what a receptionist is today, then you'd have to express to your potential employer your knowledge of such systems, so he just doesn't think, you know, I'm a great car, I'm a Cadillac, and I was, you know, built in 1965, but I don't have the mechanical means to be what it is today in the computerized world, and most of the parts are out of stock anyways. What you have to do is you have to adapt to the new realm. Now, if you're talking about trying to get back, and I still think that there might be some chance here, trying to get back into the apartment complex receptionist and connect to this government official, you have to provide evidence that you are current. Not that, well, what you're telling him, you're almost convincing him not to, you know, I haven't had any experience, but I've been doing this work and I'm this old and, you know, that's good, but I don't have any current experience. Well, don't say that. Why should he hire you? If you don't have any current experience, then what you've done is, the very thing is, you've cut the current. No pun intended. You
right,
want to say
right.
You've had current experience. Well, I don't care if you where you produce it. Produce it in your self-knowledge. Produce it in the way that you've been home-based. Let them know that you know what a receptionist is today. How is a receptionist different today than it was in your day? And provide and display for your potential employer that you know exactly the mechanics of being a receptionist today. Your voice is fine. You know, you have a lovely voice. You're not, you know, you speak English. I don't know why, you know, there's no reason why and a receptionist. You
well,
know,
what kind of duty is, I mean, maybe that would be a good idea to ask. What are you doing as a receptionist in this particular position? Is there something different than the jobs that you used to do as a receptionist?
Well, probably with I'm guessing what some of the duties are at this place would be to greet the residents as they come in. And if there, I guess, were any packages to give them. Probably there's probably some type of computer PC
computer.
There. And yes, I am computer literate.
Well,
now this person, when I talked to them about 3 weeks ago, she office, she was talking about all these shifts, you know, are you available this shift? Are you available that shift? Available day, available afternoon. Well, but it's mainly 12 midnight to 8 a.m. And it's like, okay, well, so, you know, I don't know if she was just being, you know, difficult by throwing all this at me.
So she's saying that she can use a computer, so that's not a problem. Is there any specific program that's, you know, unique to this job? Sometimes
that's why I don't know. I just basically talked with her for about 10 minutes and she said, well, just email me your resume. So I haven't talked specifics with this person.
Yeah. So when she was giving you all these shifts, can you work here? Can you work there? What was your reaction in response to her?
Well, I just said, yes, I can do this. And, you know, yes.
What she's doing is she's seeing what kind of gatekeeper you are, what you do with energy, and how well you can perceive and accept energy on any given level. She's trying to get a read from you. So she fires these things at you in such a way that it not only promotes the mechanics of the job, but it gives her some sense as to how you might greet the public. and initiate yourself into any sort of situation and how you can provide for any potential client or customer an attitude of positive energy, of uplifting
right.
energy. So you're a representative. And representatives have to be able to handle all kinds of things. That's why they have spokespeople. They are press secretaries. They need the energy that can morph something negative into something positive and know how to work with it. Now, it sounds like you're doing that. So I don't know. It might just be that they're looking for somebody younger or something, perhaps, and they just have to go through the steps of this discrimination process going on. But I would say that in your situation of getting work, the upbeat quality of your energy is really to your advantage, because in many regards, gatekeepers, promoters of entry levels, when you introduce yourself to somebody, they're usually of high merit and they're usually older. If you notice, they're usually older because they have the wisdom of entry. They've been there. They've done it. They know. They are experienced. So the idea is that you're kind of a guard keeper, but guards are usually people who are aware. So I would say that there's got to be a matter of increasing your awareness, but inflecting that into your dialogue, into the way that you speak. And, you know, that sometimes demands voice exercises, the manner in how you hold your language, the way you end your sentences, the upbeat quality. I'm not sure what the dynamics were when you were talking with her or maybe discussing it on the internet, but those are some of the aspects that I would say would be valuable to you, Patricia, in the terminology of how you can course yourself this year into something great. I will say this. You're going to be getting work. You're going to be getting actualized work, and it should be before March. But I'm trying to determine how best to approach it and to get the best substance from that position of time. So, you know, that demands a little bit more time and effort on our part. But so it's an optimistic viewpoint, but there's got to be a practical position of maneuver in there.
Okay, Patricia, and we do have to move on to other callers, so that's all we have time for today, but hopefully that's helpful to you, okay?
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay, 708, I think, is our next caller. Who's this?
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, who's this?
My name is Caesar.
Caesar?
Yeah. How are you guys?
Hi. Hi, how you doing?
Good. So since you guys were talking about careers and jobs, I guess it kind of lit up a question in my space about my current job. I work at a surgery center as a surgical tech, and I'm thinking about either changing it or staying with it if they give me like a different opportunity. So I just want to know if you guys can look at the energy of that.
Okay, Caesar, let's make sure we have your name spelled right. Spell it for us.
C-E-S-A-R.
Yeah, I had a feeling it was without the, okay. And what's your birth date?
March 17th,
1991. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 21. And he's a 31-4, right?
Yeah.
31-4. Just adding you up here. And
25 years old.
25 years old.
And what do you actually do in surgery, Caesar?
It's a surgical tech.
Surgical tech?
Yeah, so I pretty much do all the instruments, like, for the surgeries. But they have me do a bunch of other stuff, so.
Well, you know, you obviously there was some approach of interest and endeavor, because you have to be somewhat trained and to go into that part of medical procedure. So there has to be something there. Does this require a degree of any kind, or is it just that you learn on the job, or do you have to go to school?
Yeah, I had to go to school for it.
Okay, so there's something somewhat there's a division between your intellect and your pursuit of happiness. You know, if you're calling and asking, I don't know if this is the right thing, where I'm going, is this, should I be doing, in your pursuit of happiness, as opposed to your academic requirement to go in there, I'm not sure if you went into this field because you know, your family, or there was some expectation, or you got disillusioned somewhere along the line, or if you're actually hitting a barrier as to how far you need to go into this area, because you're still in a karmic situation, Caesar, meaning that you're in this field due to past life agenda.
So he could have maybe a career transformation, yeah, as he nears the age of 31. Caesar, what type of work, I mean, if you had your dreams, what type of work?
And before you enter, before you entertain that idea, I'm getting something very creative coming out of you, so I want you to know that. But go ahead and answer the question.
I just picked surgical tech because it was something that I was interested in and like a realistic job, I guess, in this reality. But what I would really like to do is I like to paint, and I'm also in a clairvoyant training. So I've been reading a lot of energy and people, and what I kind of want to do is I kind of want to paint like pictures of the things that I read and then explain it to people. That's kind of what I really want to do.
That's exactly what Neil was saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm picking up, Caesar. I think that there's an interesting part of your psyche going on.
So maybe
I think that you might be doing a dual role right now. I would actually, the both of us, Chris and I, would actually promote the idea of you being creative and doing those paintings and putting them into the practical channels that you're looking for, because that's still a healing energy, if you will. It's still a mechanical aspect, but it's more on the artistic side. So if we as psychics are getting the impression that you have a creative side and you're validating that, opposed to what you really are doing right now, because they are just opposed to one another, then there's some validity in that.
But what's good is the fact that he's taking care of his responsibilities and he's working in a job that's, I mean, obviously, I'm assuming this is allowing you to survive and live in the world, the job, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's responsible, and you can work towards it. I mean, like, he has,
you know,
6 years until he's 31,
right,
which is going to be
a
big change.
You know, Caesar, is eliminate the problem. You are doing this work because you need to survive and make a living and meet your security needs. But consider the fact that you are creative. You're going to experiment with this painting. You're going to let it grow and feed it as you move forward in the surgical field of what you're doing. But the aspect of bursting out of that world and entering a whole new creative field of psychic energy through painting is miraculous. That's what you have to produce while you're in the incubation period of utilizing your surgical skills or knowledge to make a living. So there's going to be, it's very strange, but you know, I was just talking, a past client of mine, I don't want to drop names, but Gandolfini, he's
so, he will drop
but,
names.
You know, before he was an actor, he was digging ditches to plant trees. You know,
so
digging ditches to plant trees, a gardener, a landscaper. I mean, how far away can you get from being, you know, one of the mainstream actors and making such an impression upon the artistic stage? So you've got to, you know, you just don't want to bring demons and devices and energies and all kinds of past life stuff with you, because I feel in your voice some sense of reluctance of being. So what you would want to do is be very assertive, be very creative, promote this idea, stick with it, and do the work you have to in the meantime.
So it's possible that this could develop into a career for him, being in the artistic field and maybe in the healing arts field as well, because he's talking about, you know, doing psychic training, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Hey, you're very welcome, Caesar. Thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you. I really...
Oh, I cut you off early. Sorry. I'm going to bring you back on. Go ahead. What did you say? I apologize.
I just wanted to wish you guys a good new year.
Well, thank you so much. And Caesar, you can follow us on Blog Talk Radio and also join us on Facebook and on Twitter. So we've had some new callers today. I think we have a couple callers, but we've got 1 minute left.
Oh,
so we're not going to be able to take them.
Okay.
615 and 646 are waiting, but they came in late. So you may call 562-596-7818 to speak with us personally, or you can call on Friday's show, which is at 9 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. And we will be on the air then, taking calls again. And I think that's it today. We're going to continue our discussion on the loosely organized brain on Friday. And we appreciate your participation, everybody. Thank you so much.